What should be our motivation for living the Christian life? That's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Thank you so much for joining us. This is our last episode of Question and Answers. We've been answering questions from listeners just like you. So here is our final question in the series. It's about motivation. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, I certainly hope that you're getting our magazine, Grace in Focus, same name. Comes out every other month, and it's a free subscription. I'd love to give you a copy of the magazine for free. Just write us at radio@faithalone.org, or you can sign up online also at faithalone.org.
All of this is if you have a U.S. mailing address.
Because the postage is crazy.
Even to Canada, it's very pricey.
It is so pricey. But you can read it all for free online. I have a great quote here, Bob.
Okay.
You might like this quote. A lot of people wonder, what's the motivation for living the Christian life?
Right.
What do most Christians, what is their motivation, do you think?
Fear of hell or a desire to make it into heaven. That's their motivation.
Absolutely. They think if people aren't motivated, you know, if people are kind of living lax lives, what you should do is...
Well, then you need to throw the fear of God and the fear of hell, what they mean. They don't mean fear of judgment now. They mean fear of hell.
Well, here's a great quote, and it's by an author I don't really know. I think he's gone to be with the Lord, but his name's Lyle Lang. And here's what Lyle Lang says in his book, Sanctification, Alive in Christ. He says, we need to remember that sanctification flows from justification by grace through faith. There is a temptation to leave justification behind when dealing with sanctification. Some imagine that it's like driving down the road of sanctification with justification in the rear mirror. But when we seek encouragement and empowerment for our sanctified lives, when we encourage others to lead lives of sanctification, justification by grace through faith in Christ must supply the motivation and the power for the sanctified life. Justification is the heart of the Bible, and without the heart of justification pumping power to Christian lives, sanctification will not take place. What will take place is legalism, an attempt to empower sanctification through the law.
And it's very good.
I mean, I think that really sets it up. I mean, there's two visions of the Christian life. For the people who basically believe in salvation by works, that's going to be salvation by works all the way through. The way they're going to encourage you to be sanctified is do more works. Here's the law. You need to do this. And if you don't do this, you're going to face the consequences. It's a legalistic spirituality.
That's right.
And what Lang is saying is that, no, the message that we're justified by faith apart from works, that's what inspires us to live sanctified lives.
You know, I like the way he said that because there's two ways to handle that. Years ago when I taught at Multnomah, then School of the Bible, now Multnomah University in Portland, I had a debate with another faculty member about lordship salvation. Mm. One of the other faculty members before the debate said, you know, the difference between the two of you, Bob, is that you believe that justification and sanctification are related but distinct. He
right.
believes justification and sanctification are blended and merged so that there's no such thing as a justified person who doesn't persevere till death in sanctification.
Right.
That's not what Lang is saying. What Lang is saying is what I remember I talked to Zane Hodges about that after the comment I heard, and he said that comment is so good because he said, yes, there's a distinction, but it's also true that sanctification does flow from justification. Sanctification is the natural but not automatic outgrowth of justification.
Right.
It needs to be taught. It needs to be something we say, look, aren't you grateful for the life you have, for the justification you have? Don't you want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant? Don't you want his approval?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want to please him? And so, yes, we need to always be going back to justification. It seems to me that's the whole point of the Lord's Supper.
Right.
Every time we take of communion, aren't we remembering that Jesus' body was broken for us, his blood was shed for us,
mm-hmm.
and that should produce a profound sense of gratitude.
Right. He goes on to say, justification by grace through faith supplies the power and the motivation for sanctified living. It is God's love for the sinner that enables the sinner to love God. And from this God-created and God-inspired love flows the Christian's love for God and neighbor. So sometimes people ask me, you know, do you find that it's repetitive to keep on talking about the promise of everlasting life? And it is repetitive, but it's repetitive for a reason, because I keep on meeting people who don't understand the promise of everlasting life, so I need to tell it to them. But the second reason why we emphasize it so much is precisely because that is, if you know that, that's the thing that will empower you living for Christ. That's the thing that will motivate you to live for Christ.
Right. When I hear that, and I'm hearing it more and more and more in free grace circles where people talk about believing in Jesus for everlasting life, which, by the way, is 1 Timothy 1:16, I find that's very encouraging, because even though I know I have everlasting life, and even though I don't need them to remind me so that I maintain my assurance, I find it produces an additional sense of gratitude. It reminds me of what I have.
Right.
And so it's a good thing. It'd be like, let's say your last name was Obama, and you had a heritage because your mother and father were people of influence. And so you said, you know, Sasha, you're an Obama. Well, then there's an expectation that you live up to that. If you're a Trump, there's an expectation that you live up to the Trump name. Even before he became president, there was a long history of being a successful businessman, entrepreneur, etc. If you're part of God's family, well, then there's an expectation that you're going to live like a child of the king.
Right. I think one of the things that is very motivating is knowing that your eternal life is no longer on the line. You have it. You know, and there's nothing you can do that can lose it. Kids need security in order to flourish. If kids grow up in a home where they're not sure where their next meal is coming from, if they don't know if they're loved and it's not safe, they don't flourish as human beings. And I think the same thing is true spiritually. If you don't know if God loves you, if you don't know that God has given you eternal life, if you don't know where you stand with God, I think that's going to produce not a successful Christian life. It's going to produce a very erratic Christian life. But if you are secure in God's love, if you're secure and you have assurance of your salvation, then you're going to grow. Because I mean, I think about my wife. I mean, why do I try to buy her flowers on a regular basis? Why do I do that? It's not to make her love me. It's because I know that she loves me and I want to do something to please her. That's my motivation, not fear. It's appreciation.
And you know, the funny thing, Sean, what you're saying is very counter the current Christian culture.
Mm-hmm.
The current Christian culture believes if you know for sure that you're saved once and for all, and if you know for sure that you're secure in Christ, they think that produces sin.
Right.
They think that's a bad thing.
They think as soon as you know your wife loves you, then you're going to feel that you can go fool around and cheat on her.
Which, of course, makes zero sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right. It seems to me the same thing is true with God. One verse I think of, here's two. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us.
Right.
Or 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constrains or compels us because Christ died for us.
Right.
The death of Christ tells us about God's love. In fact, of course, isn't that the point of John 3:16?
Right.
Our love for God stems from his love for us, which is what Lang was saying.
In fact, he goes on to say, he talks about the focus, what we should be focused on. For us to grow in love for God and works of love for our neighbor, we need to focus constantly on God's love for us in Christ. When that focus is clear, the Christian has an unchanging and inexhaustible source of power for living a sanctified life. And what I like about that, and I don't know if he realized what point he was making there, but your Christian life flows out of your mental life, what you're focusing on. If you're focusing on fear and uncertainty and judgment, not knowing whether or not you're really one of the elect, or if you're really predestined, or if you're really born again, or if you've really believed the right way, that's not going to produce sanctification in your life. So you need to focus on the things that God has told us to focus on.
Right. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you tie that in with 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that's the beauty of Christ, the glory of Christ, are being transformed into the same image, that is, transformed into the image of Christ, just as from the Lord the Spirit. The way in which we become more like Christ is by looking to Christ and seeing Him. Part of the problem is most people in Christianity think we're to look at the commandments. We focus on the commandments.
Put them in the public, put them in the courts, put them in your home. Focus on the law.
And they think if you focus on the law, especially so that you can get into the kingdom,
right,
that that's going to make you holier. But as you said, that produces paralysis. It produces this, I'm never going to make it.
The only thing the law is going to tell you is that you are not fulfilling the law.
Right, exactly. The real question here is the person properly motivated? First of all, are they a believer? And secondly, if they're a believer, are they properly motivated?
Mm-hmm.
You can have born-again people who lose their way and begin to think, well, I've got to do these things to keep my salvation. Somehow they've gotten in some church that's confused them.
Right.
And the result is they end up and they don't really serve Christ faithfully. I mean, the same principle applies with small children. And Sharon and I never had children, but you have three. I've been told the thing to do if a child is focusing on the wrong thing, let's say they're playing with the light socket or something, the thing to do is get their attention somewhere else. Show them something shiny and their attention is focused somewhere else. Well, the same thing is true in the Christian life. If we're focusing on the law, we're focusing on the wrong thing. We need to focus on the lawgiver, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Love Him.
Right.
And I think that was true in the Old Testament as well. I think David got that. Moses got that. Abraham got that.
Uh-huh.
These people understood that it wasn't by focusing on the commandments that they pleased God. It was by focusing on God that they pleased God.
Right. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is beautiful, whatever is noble, you know, think on those things.
Right.
Focus on those
things.
Well, final thought, I'm reminded in this discussion of Luke chapter 11, where the woman comes and she cleans Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears. And although the people are like, how could you let this woman do that? Jesus says, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. If you realize what Jesus has done for you, that's what produces love for Christ.
Much love. Because we've all been forgiven much if we're believers in Jesus Christ. So let that challenge you, encourage you, motivate you, and spur you on to daily service for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you guys for that great discussion on motivation and how Christians should be motivated. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to start a brand new series about gospel tracts. It's going to be unique. I think you don't want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.